Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
On Tuesday afternoon, the Department of Labor finalized a rule intended to make health insurance policies cheaper for some small businesses.
The competition will be staggering. Insurance companies will be fighting to get every single person signed up. And you will be hopefully negotiating, and you'll get such low prices for such great care. Should have been done a long time ago, and it could have been done a long time ago.
That's President Trump touting the new policy, which stems from an executive order he signed back in October. Amy Goldstein is the national healthcare policy reporter for The Washington Post, and she joins me now. Hi, Amy.
Good to be with you, Tanzina.
So this rule is focused on association health plans. Explain to us what they are exactly and how do they work?
Well, these aren't new insurance creatures. These are health plans that exist for small companies to band together with other small companies to try to negotiate better insurance rates than they could on their own. And they've been available under limited circumstances for decades. They haven't been very popular. According to one study last year, only about 6% of little companies had this kind of insurance.
So what exactly, it doesn't sound like it's taken off in general. What has changed about this? And do you expect that small businesses are going to be excited about these changes?
Well, what's changed is that the Trump administration yesterday did something that conservatives in Congress have been trying and failing to do off and on for decades, which is really throw the door wide open to these kinds of health plans. And they're going to be much more available to more small businesses under more circumstances. And importantly, for the first time, people, particularly people who are self-employed, are going to be able to buy into these plans. And the reason that that's a big deal at the moment is that unlike other insurance that's sold in the United States now to individuals and small companies, these plans are not going to have to meet a whole lot of requirements of the Affordable Care Act, requirements for what kinds of benefits, what kinds of services they're going to have to cover, and requirements for certain kinds of consumer protections. For instance, unlike the rest of the plans sold to individuals and small businesses under the ACA, these plans are going to be able to charge different prices to men and women. They're going to be able to charge more different prices to people than the ACA allows, depending on the customer's age. So they're going to be able to be sold at lower prices, which is for their proponents the big selling point. But the trade-off is that they're going to be a lot less comprehensive and not have some of the consumer protections built into ACA health plans.
What you're describing sounds to me discriminatory against, you know, different pricing for different genders, different pricing for different things. The president in our opening, he said, you'll get such low prices for such great care. Is that actually true?
Well, that's one of those it remains to be seen things. What can be seen right now is that there's a huge debate about whether this is or is not a good idea. Small businesses and their advocates and a lot of Republicans have been very eager for something like this to come about. On the other hand, congressional Democrats and a huge swath all across the healthcare industry is pretty opposed to this idea for two reasons. One, the critics say that people may find out that if they get sick, these plans don't cover the kind of medical care that they then will need. That's one reason. And they also say that these plans, if they do become popular, have the potential to really further damage the Affordable Care Act's insurance marketplaces because they're likely to peel off people who are healthy and leave in the insurance exchanges sicker customers who need more care, and that is likely to drive up, the critics say, the cost of care for everybody else in the ACA marketplaces.
We're talking about how the executive action signed by President Trump on Tuesday impacts association health plans. Amy, you mentioned the Affordable Care Act earlier. How does this undermine? We know the president and his administration has been trying to repeal this from day one. Is this another step towards that? And if so, how does this really undermine what remains of the Affordable Care Act?
Well, you're right that the Trump administration has been trying for months to find ways that it can use its own powers to take apart pieces of the Affordable Care Act, which, of course, is the big 2010 health care law that was passed by a Democratic Congress during the Obama presidency. This is, you know, there's actually a kind of legal debate that's emerging now over whether the administration has a power legitimately to do what it just did yesterday. So that's going to have to play out, too. But in terms of the effect on the ACA, like a lot of critics of that law, the Trump administration has been saying, look, we've got to find ways to get less expensive insurance to people. We've got to find ways to basically do, and I think they would use these words, end runs around the insurance requirements of the Affordable Care Act, which the administration thinks are too restrictive and lead to health insurance as too expensive.
But Amy, I'm just so curious, if we're trying to get less expensive care to individuals and yet we're taking away, it seems like the consumer is the one who's going to suffer in this latest iteration. Am I wrong by saying that? Should there not be more of a focus on the insurance companies themselves, on the medical and healthcare industry itself in terms of why the costs are what they are for everything from Tylenol to basic vaccines?
Well, that's part of the debate that's going to have to play out over time as these things actually go into existence.
Amy Goldstein is the National Healthcare Policy Reporter for The Washington Post. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you.